The present conference is on the Catholic Church defends the real presence of one of the marvels of divine providence is that for almost 1,000 years, with all the heresies that plagued the church from apostolic times, there were no direct assaults on the real presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist. As the church became established, however, mainly in Europe, after the barbarian invasions, there gradually developed the medieval universities, 12th and 13th centuries. Every university in the world owes its origins to the Roman Catholic Church. Before the universities came into actual juridical existence, however, education from small children on through what we would call graduate education of adults was conducted by monasteries. It was, as you would expect, the monasteries which not only continued and preserved the wisdom of the ages going back to centuries before Christ, Thucydides, Herodotus, Aristotle, Plato, among the Greeks, Livy, Tacitus, Cicero, among the Romans. Their writings were preserved laboriously. The monks spent sometimes a lifetime transcribing these great minds of the pre-Christian Western world. As we would expect, however, where there are intellectuals, there can also be, what a safe statement, controversy, error, and even heresy. Before we go any deeper, there are 5 names that should be identified, and I would say should even be memorized. They are so crucial to our Catholic understanding of the real presence. The first is Saint Pachomius, P-A-C-H, O-M-I-U-S, Pachomius. He was the abbot of the monastery of Corbie, C-O-R-B-I-E, in France. Died 860. Then one of the monks of that same monastery, by the name of Rotramanus, R-A-T-R-A-M-N-U-S, a monk, therefore, of the Abbey of Corbie. He died in 868. Third name, Berengar, B-E-R-E-N-G-A-R, also in France. archdeacon in the Diocese of Tours, where St. Martin, remember, had been bishop. He died, this is Berengar, in 1088. Fourth name, Pope Gregory the Seventh. He died in 1085. And finally, Pope Paul the Sixth, our contemporary, who died in 1978. Our scope in this, one time I will use the word, important conference. Our scope in this important conference on the real presence is to see, first of all, how these five persons have been interrelated. But our main focus is to more deeply and clearly understand what is the mystery of our faith, which is the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist. Over the years in teaching sacramental theology, I can assure you, either my students knew these people, or, well, they wouldn't pass the course. This is not mere historical lore. Oh, no. As we're finding out how sadly, in so many parts of the Catholic world, we begin then with the history. Saint, did I say Pacomius? I'm wrong. Saint Pascasius. Saint Pascasius. P-A-S. C-H-A-S-I-U-S, Saint Pascasius. You can see how Pacomius has made a dent in my memory. Remember, this is not Pacomius come back to life. This is Pascasius. As abbot of his monastery, Pascasius wrote an inspiring book on the meaning of the real presence. He explained what the Church had always taught and believed, that the Eucharist is the real presence. In other words, that Jesus Christ is actually, physically, and therefore really present on earth under the external appearances of bread and wine. The appearances, Pascasius explained, they are real. It's not make-believe. We call them species. A bread and wine are there. But once the consecration is performed, there is no bread and wine. The external physical properties of bread and wine remain. their substance is replaced by the whole, the total Jesus Christ. Except for writing that book, Pascasius' memory would no doubt have been honored in his own day, and scholars would remember, oh yes, way back in the 9th century, there was an abbot who wrote a book, beautiful, and nothing more. But Pascasius had a monk in his own monastery who disagreed with the abbot. Needless to say, this was no mere, you might say, external disobedience. Retraminus, a monk under the abbot Pascasius, did not believe in the real presence. Well, that would have been bad enough. But he insisted on telling everybody in the monastery, from the abbot down. And the marvel is that Retraminus was not thrown out of the monastery. Not satisfied, he, Retraminus, wrote a book, quotes, refuting his abbot, and thus reached many people on the outside. Mind you, this is centuries before the discovery of print. According to Retraminus, the body of Christ in the Eucharist cannot be the same as Christ's historical body that had once been on earth and is now in heaven. And this was Retraminus' focus. It cannot be the same body that was on earth in Palestine or that is now in heaven, as we recite in the Creed at the right hand of his Heavenly Father. Why not? Because, said Retraminus, the Eucharistic quotes body has no parts, no weight, no extension in space. How can you call something a body which is not bodily? In other words, Christ's presence, his bodily presence in the Eucharist, said Retraminus, is symbolic. Centuries later, another French, this time philosopher, by the name of Descartes, he developed a whole philosophy claiming you don't have a body unless you have extension in space, unless something is sensibly perceptible, tangible, feelable, visible, weighable. It is not a body. Those were the two back in the 9th century. Then Berengar came along. In the meantime, let's make sure that a lot of damage was done by one man. We are so accustomed to the flood of error pervading our society in our day. What needs to be stressed, how this has struck me over the years, just as the truth is taught, pervaded, and preserved, beginning with someone person who has the truth. So it takes just one person to begin to sow the seed of untruth. And before long, thousands, in fact, whole nations, can have departed from the truth. Berengar, the archdeacon in Tours, he came along and wrote a book supporting Vertraminus and denouncing Saint Pascasius. During the 200 years between, remember, the first rising of the Eucharistic heresy, and then its, you might say, spread by Berengar, many people, especially priests, had become infected by the heresy. As a result, because it was, to say the least, undermining the whole Catholic Church. Without the real presence, there is no Catholic Church. One condemnation by one synod of bishops after another. Then finally, condemned by Pope Gregory VII in 1079. So far, the background history. I wish to share with you, as I'm sure by now you already are beginning to know, that the Catechism of the Catholic Church, without, you might say, making a big show of it, is built on a historical framework to show how the faith, on the one hand, remains constant over the centuries, on the other hand, especially because of the rising errors over the centuries, which errors have to be not just simply refuted, that's not true, but the truth then had to be explained under the pressure of error. The truth becomes more plain, more clear, more intelligible. By now, I'm sure we've heard this, I hope, more than once. In any case, Berengar then was required to accept on oath the following profession of faith in the Real Presence. Let me first read the profession of faith. I believe in my heart and openly profess that the bread and wine placed upon the altar are, by the mystery of the sacred prayer and the words of the Redeemer. Let me repeat. I believe in my heart and openly profess the bread and wine placed upon the altar are, by the mystery of the sacred prayer and the words of the Redeemer, comma, substantially changed into the true and life-giving flesh and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Substantially changed into the true and life-giving flesh and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. And that after the consecration, there is present the true body of Christ. And that after the consecration, there is present the true body of Christ, which was born of the Virgin Mary and offered up for the salvation of the world, living and dying on the cross, period, and now sits at the right hand of the Father. After the consecration, there is present the true body of Christ, which was born of the Virgin Mary and offered up for the salvation of the world, living and dying on the cross, and now sits at the right hand of the Father. And that there is present the true blood of Christ, which flowed from his side. They are present not only by means of a sign and of the efficacy of the sacrament, but also in the very reality and truth of their nature and substance. That there is present the true body of blood of Christ, which flowed from his side. They are present not only by means of a sign and of the efficacy of the sacrament, but also in the very reality and truth of their nature and substance. Period. All the evidence we have indicates that Berengar signed his profession of faith. But from all appearances, he did not really retract what he believed. Over the centuries, this profession of faith in the Real Presence has been the acid test, as we may call it, of authentic Catholic Eucharistic faith. In the last 2 weeks, I received a letter and a Xerox copy of a fairly long article that I've written for a national Catholic magazine. The editor wrote back and showed me what the diocesan censor did with my article, already in print, but before publishing in the magazine. Every time I used the word physical, physically present, he removed it. It is impossible, I repeat, to exaggerate the importance of our being able to express in clear language our faith in the real presence. Now Pope Paul VI, the lasting value of this faith, faith in the real presence, has been brought to the surface in our day before the close of the Second Vatican Council. Pope Paul VI had no illusions about the confusion that some of the changes in the Church's Eucharistic liturgy would provoke among Catholics. I'm talking about legitimate developments and changes. This has never happened, to my knowledge, in the history of the Church's General Councils, that a Pope should step in and during the sessions of an ecumenical council publish a full-scale encyclical on a matter of doctrine which you would expect the council to take care of. Well, Pope Paul VI was not taking chances. As he wrote, all the liturgical progress in the world, all the marvelous growth in the influence of sound Catholic Eucharistic liturgy on the lives of the faithful, it will all be lost if, as I'm afraid, Catholics will weaken or even lose their faith in the real presence. Consequently, Paul VI did, as I've just said, the unheard of thing. In 1965, before the Second Vatican Council closed, he published a lengthy and, I would say, theologically precise encyclical on one subject, the real presence, called Mysterium Fidei, Mysterium. The center of this document of Pope Paul VI The center of this document of Pope Paul VI is the profession of faith required by Paul VI's predecessor of Berengar 900 years before, verbatim. Now some implications. What we need to convince ourselves of is that faith in the real presence is the mystery of our Catholic faith. By mystery, of course, we understand any specific dogma that we take on the Word of God, revealing it as true, and without comprehending, we believe. The number of such mysteries is beyond counting. But there is one mystery which underlies all the others. If you believe this, you can believe all the others. If you don't believe this, you may claim to believe the others. You don't. What are they? We believe, if we believe in the real presence, in the Incarnation. And the key word is incarnation, that God became caro, God became flesh. By now libraries have been written on what we mean by the presence of God, the various ways that God by His grace, as we say, is present among His people. Well then, what is the real presence? It assumes that God took on human flesh in the womb of His mother Mary, and that enfleshed Son of God is the one who is present in the Eucharist. What do we believe if we believe in the real presence? We believe in the priesthood. Everything, and the word is everything, depends on our believing that Christ is really present with the fullness of His incarnate divinity in the Holy Eucharist. And let's be as clear. Over the years in teaching my own Jesuits, their Eucharistic theology, every possible angle to make sure that nobody missed it. God is God, was, is, and would be present on earth had God never become man. What happened at the Incarnation? God took on human flesh. How can that enfleshed divinity come down on earth today? How? Only by the power of the priesthood. How well I know you don't teach 600 Jesuits and struggle with their faith without realizing how crucial it is to understand exactly what we are saying when we profess to believe in the real, real presence. What then do we believe when we believe in the real presence? Once we believe that it's the same identical change, if you wish, that took place in the womb of Mary the moment she conceived her divine son, takes place on the altar, and what had been bread and wine becomes the incarnate Son of God. Once you believe that, well then, everything else follows. Not just the respect for the real presence, not just prayer before the Holy Eucharist, but all that we would expect Christ to expect of us if we believe that he is on earth as he expected of his contemporaries in Palestine. But, and this is now the key, without a second thought, believing Catholics speak of the Blessed Sacrament. And although I suppose many, if questioned, when asked, well, what are the seven sacraments, would identify the Eucharist as sacrament, at least spontaneously, as, well, when you receive Holy Communion. True enough. But what needs to be emphasized, I know the priesthood too well. I know what the devil is doing among priests in our day. 25 years in working for the Holy See has taught me an awful lot about the priesthood. This is the principal target of the evil spirit in the priesthood. Darken, weaken, if possible, destroy their faith in the real presence. Once, however, and what a however this is, once, however, you really believe it's the same identical Jesus Christ now on earth as walked the streets of Palestine, told the storm at sea, be quiet, told Lazarus, come forth, and a dead man rose from the grave. Once you believe who he is, then there is no problem in believing what that same Jesus can do. The main reason for the tragic breakdown of once vibrant dioceses, I keep repeating the figure, some 2,300 still living vital dioceses in the Catholic Church, but over 1,900 extinct. This is the main reason. It is our faith in the more we realize that it all depends in the final analysis on there being men on earth whose power of consecrating goes back to Holy Thursday night. It is the faith of priests in their priestly powers, on which I don't see the survival of the Catholic Church, because no matter how minuscule she may become, the Catholic Church will survive. But the survival of the Church in any part of the world, in any period of time, depends mainly on bishops and priests retaining and living out their faith in the real presence. Through all of us, we then are to strengthen our own faith. And how to do it? In the most obvious way that we have available. By coming to this same Jesus Christ present in our midst and begging him, Lord Jesus, I believe, I do believe, but I plead, strengthen my faith so that my faith in your real presence may be the means that you will use to strengthen the faith not only of those whom I may meet and talk to in my life, but the whole human race, because, dear Jesus, you are on earth to bring the whole of mankind to your Sacred Heart, present in our midst, in the Holy Eucharist. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.